KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies, and it's currently 6 degrees below zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news this morning, police in Creston report two people were arrested Sunday. 39-year-old Timothy Michael Vandevender of Corning was arrested at around 5:40 p.m. at U.S. Highway 34 and Abel Street in Creston on a charge of OWI first offense. He was later released on $1,000 bond. And 31-year-old Alicia Allen Lovell of Creston was arrested at Highway 34 and Oak Street in Creston on a charge of driving while suspended. She was later released on $300 bond. The Creston PD reports also a resident on West Montgomery Street reported late Friday night, or Friday that is, that someone had operated his vehicle without his consent and stole a 20-volt impact wrench along with two sockets and a 2.5-ton floor jack. The loss was estimated at just over $800. The Atlantic School Board will hold a work session this evening at the high school, and during that 7:30 p.m. meeting in the High School Media Center, the board will hear from the High School Building Leadership Team, or BLT, and they'll discuss the district's five-year capital improvement projects plan. No action is expected to be taken on the plan during the meeting. The leaders of Iowa's private colleges and universities say the stability of the state's higher education ecosystem is threatened by the proposed performance-based funding formula for the three state-supported universities. Mark Putnam, president of Central College in Pella, says rewarding the state universities with more tax dollars if they enroll more Iowa high school graduates is perilous, not only for private colleges, but public universities as well.
Instability is not a friend to students' education or research. So changes that occur abruptly can be incredibly disruptive, and it creates behavior patterns that are not healthy for institutions. So if the institutions begin to look at how can I take students from the others, or how can I start to position myself to win, then it becomes something that's not helpful.
Grandview President Kent Henning says even though legislators haven't approved the plan yet, the University of Iowa is already reacting.
It's now financial aid season, and we are getting reports of students receiving very generous financial aid packages from the University of Iowa, almost free rides. And while that's wonderful for those students, I think the state taxpayers should be wondering and asking what's going on. How is that possible if the state universities keep coming back to the legislature pleading poverty?
University of Dubuque President Jeffrey Bullock says it's ludicrous for the public universities, especially the U of I, to start adjusting enrollment policy to more strongly favor in-state rather than out-of-state residents.
Right now, over 90% of the college-going population of the state stays in the state anyway. Why would we want to erect a wall that effectively keeps potential, not just students out, higher net paying students, by the way, but also future employees that help grow the economy and fill the gap, the employment gap that we all know exists in this state.
The three private college presidents discussed the issue during a joint appearance on Iowa Public Television's Iowa Press program this past weekend. Gary Steinke, the executive director of the Iowa Association of Independent Colleges and Universities, says every other state that has tied state tax dollar support to in-state student enrollment has abandoned the effort.
Tennessee was the first to try it in 2009, and it doesn't work, and they don't do it anymore. They have taken the enrollment weighting out of their performance-based funding plan, and so has Indiana, and so has Virginia, and so has Maine. I mean, they don't use it anymore because it doesn't work.
Steinke says the proposal has sparked a sector war in Iowa's high education community for an idea that research shows ultimately makes no improvement in student performance. The Board of Regents, the 9-member panel that governs the University of Iowa, Iowa State University, and University of Northern Iowa, has proposed a change in the formula that distributes state tax dollars to the three public universities. Regents officials say it's designed in large part to reward UNI, which has gotten the smallest share of state support in the past, and where over 90% of students are Iowa residents. The loser in the change would be the University of Iowa, where nearly half the students come from out of state. Elsewhere in the news, the city manager in Avoca is receiving some heat over potential conflicts of interest involving his work
for other cities and his outside business interests. The Omaha World Herald reports 37-year-old Clint Fichter, who became Avoca's first city manager in 2007, is chief executive officer of a company he founded that advises and provides administrative services for area communities, including Adair, Shelby, and Neola. He's also executive director of the nonprofit Avoca Betterment Association, which develops affordable housing in that city of 1600, and is one of three partners in the A-Town Capital Group, which has purchased two commercial buildings on the town's main street. Mayor Jenny Mason said that she questions whether his work for other cities represents a conflict of interest. She also doesn't think Avoca gets enough work out of Fichter because of his outside commitments. Both state ombudsman Ruth Cooper-Ryder and the president of the Iowa City County Managers Association said Friday that when it comes to a conflict of interests issues, appearances matter. Nonetheless, neither had enough information to say if Fichter's actions were contrary to professional ethics or state law. Councilwoman Sandy Peterson said for every dollar spent on Fichter's salary, he has returned $11 to the city as a result of his grant writing. Fichter is paid $81,000 per year by the city of Avoca. He said he works about 45 hours at his job as city manager and about 15 more hours per week on other projects. He said that he and his consulting business received about $49,000 for the outside work last year. Fichter claims his opponents are trying to make his life unpleasant to get him to leave Avoca. He noted that his five-year contract approved by the city council in 2013 allows him to do work for other cities. Fichter advises other cities through a consulting company he founded called Polychronic, and Polychronic provides a variety of services, including financial accounting, record keeping, and strategic planning for both Adair and Neola. He also serves as the city attorney in Shelby. He represented the city in its recent dispute with its volunteer firefighters. Iowa authorities say a house fire killed a woman and two young children Sunday afternoon. Fort Dodge Fire Chief Kent Hewlett told the Fort Dodge Messenger about the deaths on Sunday. Hewlett said the victims were an adult woman, an infant, and a toddler. Their names have not yet been released. The house was burning when firefighters arrived, and strong winds made the blaze difficult to fight. A man was treated for smoke inhalation after a fire destroyed his home in northern Iowa. The fire was reported a little after 11 a.m. Sunday in Rockwell. Fire Chief Mark Lowe said the house was engulfed in flames when firefighters arrived. Firefighters from Sheffield and Swaledale also responded. The injured man was taken by a private vehicle to Mercy Medical Center North, Iowa, in Mason City. Lowe suspects a space heater in the garage may have been the ignition source. Two people died following a motorcycle crash Saturday evening in Warren County. The Iowa State Patrol said the crash happened on Highway 28 at around 5:15 p.m. when the driver of a 2005 Harley-Davidson cycle lost control on a curve and hit a cable barrier south of the Highway 5 bypass. Friends and family members told WHO-TV the victims were John Dutch Richeson and Lynette LaCroix of Des Moines. Authorities say both riders were transported to Mercy Medical Center, where they were pronounced dead. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.